Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of The Daily Churn. If you are just joining us for these, this is a little series of episodes that I'm releasing only online for now. You can download them or you can play them online at thedailychurnpodcast.com, and there's a little web player that will play it, or you could download it to your phone. And eventually I do want to move these. Maybe not these ones, but I'll start doing new ones in Spotify and Apple, so you can just listen to it directly there. I know it's kind of a pain in the meantime, but it's just way easier for me to do it this way right now. And I kind of want to make sure I feel good about a weekly schedule first before overcommitting myself, which is sort of my summary of the week, which is like, man, what a week. I just did so much this week. And that movie, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, it kind of feels like that for me. And that's sort of my constant struggle. The analogy that I had fun reading in this book that I recommended a few months back called Scattered Minds, about ADHD, they gave a good example in the first chapter of someone at the circus, right, juggling plates. You remember those? It's on a stick, and then they spin the plates. And then they go and they spin more plates, and then they go and spin more plates. And then eventually they're spinning so many plates that they can't keep up, and all the plates come crashing down. That is basically, I think, ADHD in a nutshell. And I go through cycles where sometimes I look around and I'm like, why? Why are there 10 plates spinning above my head that are about to crash right now? I thought I was trying to spin less plates. But, that's always a work in progress. And my goal maybe for this week is to try and just be more intentional with how many new plates I start spinning up. But that's just kind of my long-winded intro of saying that I have a lot of stuff to cover this week. A lot of new churns and just updates on what I've been up to. And yeah, but let's just go straight into it. Let's start with the time-sensitive stuff, stuff that you can hopefully do right now. I'm recording this on a Thursday afternoon. It's going to come out on a Friday morning, and hopefully this is still around by Friday morning. It's not the biggest churn, but it is free money. InKind, if you've heard of InKind, it's this app that lets you use their credits essentially at restaurants. And I think even Costco now sells InKind gift cards. So they're expanding, blowing up to some degree. And the current deal with InKind is that you can go, and whether you're a new or an existing customer, you can click a link, enter your phone number, and they'll add into your account a $25 off of your next $25 or more meal. So literally just a free $25, a free meal in some areas, not here so much these days. But yeah, so you can do that, a free $25. And then if you're new to InKind, you can also join using someone's referral link. I'll have my link in the show notes, but feel free to use your friends. And that gives you, as a new customer, $25 off of a $50 meal. And so you can do both of those. And I just signed up P2 for it 2 days ago. It literally takes under 2 minutes to do both things, to sign up for an account and then to apply for the, or not even apply, just click the link and get the other $25 credit. So $50 free at a restaurant in 2 minutes is a pretty good return on your time, I think. I was kind of not really that interested in InKind for a while, because in my area there just wasn't that many InKind stores, and this was maybe a couple years ago. But that has changed. They have expanded, and there are InKind restaurants near me now. And most likely, if you live near any kind of a city, there are InKind restaurants, probably restaurants that you already go to, that work with InKind. And so worth checking out for sure. I mean, it says on DOC, and I'll have a link to the DOC article as well, that this goes through July 31st, so about a week. If too many people sign up for it, they probably will pull it earlier, because they are just giving you a free $25. So better to do it sooner rather than later. And yeah, I think it's a pretty good deal. I mean, one thing that I've been thinking more about this year in terms of what churns I do is setting some kind of a threshold. I know some folks, know-it-all on Discord is really a proponent of like figuring out what is your hourly rate that you would be okay with. You know, is it, if I make $20 an hour, is that worth it? Or do I need to be making $100 an hour for it to be worth it? And then just translate that into how long various churns take. I think that is probably the more detailed, better approach. The less work approach is just to come up with a threshold for yourself. And so like for me, like last year, my threshold became $25, because before that I just was like, I'll do any churn, you know, like give me a $5 free Starbucks and I'll do it. But last year it was $25. Like if it's not going to make me $25, I'm just not going to do it. And that was nice because that really eliminated a lot of the deals. Not that I was perfect, because I was still going after a free drink, a Starbucks, and a free burger. You know, like who can turn down a free burger or a free Starbucks? But it was a good guideline for what to tackle. And this year it's at $50. I'm just trying to focus on things that are just bigger volume, things that could scale better, things that can make you thousands of dollars instead of save you $50 now. So this one's right on the threshold for me. It's like right at that $50 mark. But the fact that I could also refer P2, and then, you know, like it just ended up being just about worth it. And you do have to factor in how long things take, because when it does only take a couple minutes, I think that threshold needs to adjust a bit. And I guess full circle, that is what Know-It-All is trying to say with the hourly rate thing, right? Like if you just figure out your hourly rate, this becomes easier. So maybe I should do that. But it's just like I've been trying not to think of churning with an hourly rate, just because I was billing an hourly rate for so long as a consultant, and just like have like a mental block against trying to do that again. But yeah, that's one way to kind of look at how you spend your time when it comes to churning. But moving on to another churn. Oh yeah, quick thank you to everyone who used my Kraken referral. I got quite a few of those. The deal is still alive if you haven't done it yet. I just got another targeted email from them like a day or two ago, because someone in the comments was like, I'm only seeing like $7 or something cash back from Capital One Shopping for signing up at Kraken. And I'm like, nah, man, I literally just got the offer for 157. No, that's Monarch. 220. It's even higher for Kraken like a day ago. And so that's still alive and kicking. It's very easy. I do like how quickly Kraken shows that you've met the referral requirements. It's like you literally, they have like a checklist. You put money in, one checklist ticks off. You trade quick crypto, the other checklist ticks off. And then you get an email immediately saying that you're on your way to getting a referral bonus. I wish any other fintech app really would be that quick with their tracking process. And yeah, we'll see if they post. But if you're new to it, it's an easy $220. And then I think the referral is $50 if you sign up online, $75 if you use the code and do it through the app. But I think there's a workaround where you just put the code, the $75 code, into the website so that you don't have to sign up through the app, because if you sign up through the app, is the Capital One offer still going to stack? Probably not, because you need your web extension, right, to track you. But you can just put the $75 code in during sign up and it becomes a $75 bonus. So I know some people have been doing that, and I'll post a link or share a code for that as well. Then let's see, I have my little notepad of things I wrote down right before this. On the topic of small churns, I'm still going to Staples every month to use up my Amex Business Gold $20 shipping and office supply credit. It works at Staples. I've been buying gift cards. I usually just buy like a $20 Amazon or 25. Is it 25 or 20? I think they only come in $25 increments at Staples. So I buy a $25 Amazon gift card, and that uses the credit. And that's been working pretty well, because I had like 5 Amex Business Golds. And so it's worth a trip to Staples to just use up $100 worth of credit. But I recently discovered, and this is kind of a, I'm like, I don't know how I didn't think of this before. I sort of did it before, where you can order these gift cards online at staples.com. But back in the day, I would order Starbucks gift cards, and those only came in $25 increments. So you're spending an extra $5, and then they would charge $2 for shipping. I'm not sure if some gift cards don't charge shipping, but I do know now that Target gift cards on staples.com do not charge shipping, and they come in $20 increments. So that made life a lot easier, because now I don't have to leave the house. I can just do it online, buy a $20 Target gift card. It uses up the credit exactly, and there's no shipping fee. And I think it delivers the gift card electronically too, whereas the Starbucks ones, they were shipping me a Starbucks gift card. That's probably why they charge that $2. Okay, yeah. So it must be that any gift card that you can find at Staples that has electronic delivery, they're not going to charge you the $2 shipping fee, duh. And then ideally you find one in the $20 range so that, you know, you're just not spending more money than you need to trying to use up Amex's limitless coupon book, which, like, I have a Google Keep note that I try to maintain. It's not going super well, where I'm just like trying to remember or keep track of all the little credits that I have to use. And that list is just like, it's like Dell credits, $50 at Saks for the personal platinums, $50 now at Hilton, I think for the business platinums. Then I've got these little like Staples credits for the business gold. And then, of course, the travel credits, you know, you've got to game the travel credits. And I used to game those on Southwest so that you can just get that money and use it towards a flight. But now that we're not really flying Southwest anymore, we've kind of switched over to United, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I need to figure out how to game United Travel Bank. And if you're like, how do you even, what does that even mean? If you just Google it, you'll end up at some really, really long Flyer Talk threads that are separated by the program that you're trying to use your Amex travel credits for. So like if I Google like Southwest Flyer Talk Amex Platinum Travel Credit, and yep, that's the first one. Platinum Airline Fee $200 Reimbursement Reports, WN, and WN is for Southwest. But there's that version of a thread for Delta, for United, for whichever airline you prefer to fly, as to how you can use up that $200 travel credit without it having to only be for like incidentals. It should work for booking your flights too. I think with United, I got to find, it's like something about depositing and refunding a bunch of stuff so that it ends up in my United Travel Bank, I think. But that's on my list of things to do. Next we have, oh, the other thing that this was, yeah, I've been working through. I've been in the process of trying to get a good burner phone set up, or, you know, a temporary phone or alternate phone number set up so that I could use it for churning. And I specifically wanted it on an Android device. And I've been like, trying different things. I have an old Pixel, but that stopped receiving Android updates. And, you know, with like Google Wallet and other things, they've got like different features now that are coming through, like passkeys, for example. If you want to use passkeys, you need to have, I think, Android, well, not Android 12 or 13, which is what that one's running, but you probably want to be on Android 16. And so I've been trying to find a good phone for cheap. One option is, you know, you can go on Swappa. Swappa is like the eBay for phones, but specifically for phones, and it's a lot better. Just generally the whole UI and experience, because it's tailored for phones, is really good. And I've talked about Swappa before in prior episodes, but you can buy like a Pixel that's pretty current for like 100 or 150, or you can go through some of these like smaller wireless carriers like Total Wireless, or what's the other one? Straight Talk. And they'll usually give you the phone for free or pretty cheap if you pay for like a couple months of their plan. And so I did that. I got this like Samsung, I don't even remember the model. It's a newer Samsung, but it's like their lowest end Samsung Galaxy. like A16 or something like that. And man, it's been hellacious using this phone. I only need it as a burner. And so the phone was like basically free. I think it's like $99 on Straight Talk or something. And then Capital One Shopping reimbursed you like $30 or $40. Like it basically ended up being under $50 for this phone. And I was like, great, that's a great burner phone because the Samsung, it guarantees Android updates on that phone for another 4 or 5 years or something. And I'm like, that's great. But just using this phone, I think I'm a spoiled Apple fanboy at this point, because using the Galaxy, so they don't run stock Android. It's the One UI is a Samsung flavor. And as far as I can tell, the only purpose of One UI is to feed you apps that you can't delete and to track you and to show you ads. That is the only thing I've seen it do. And it just creates so much lag in the phone because they have this app, right, that you can't remove. It's called like Mobile Services or something. And all it does is it pushes new apps into your phone that you don't want. And they're like apps like variations of like Solitaire and Candy Crush and these like online little gambling type things. And it just spams it into your phone directly. And because it's running in the background doing that, the whole phone, none of the apps will open. Like I could go on a long Samsung rant, but I guess like my question is for those that actually use a Samsung phone regularly, like, is this what all Samsung phones are like? Or is it just that I'm on like the lowest end Samsung phone? But it is like a current generation Samsung phone, and it runs like 10 times slower than my Pixel from like 2018. It's actually crazy. And I was, again, having this discussion with Know-It-All over on the Discord, and he was the one who originally recommended this phone to me. So 1,000% his fault why it's been such a terrible experience. But no, there's I guess we're moving to a different one now. We're trying out new phones. And that's the thing, you know, like you got to try these things. Who knows how bad or good they're going to be until you try it out, right? And then you try it and then you share the data points so that someone else hopefully doesn't order this damn phone. Moto G, it's a Motorola phone. And that one is like $80 right now on Straight Talk. And I think with Capital One, if you wait for the offer to come through targeted in your email, that should give you another like $20, $30 off of it. So like $50 for the phone. And because it's Motorola, I think Motorola's run stock Android. And at this point, I'm like, I know it's not even my primary phone, but I just need to not be on Samsung's One UI anymore because this is driving me crazy. There's actually another slick deals that I just stumbled across a few days ago where you can get the Motorola Razr on, what is it, Total Wireless for $110 total. That's pretty good. And Total Wireless, I think, also has some discounts through either Capital One or Rakuten. So maybe more like $100. And the Razr is the one that folds in half and has a screen on the front too. And I'm just like, oh man, I would pay an extra $50 to, so I might actually return my Samsung and switch it to this so that my burner phone is like somewhat nice. Like I don't need it to be nice, just somewhat usable. And for $100, that seems like a worthwhile sacrifice. So yeah, that's the cell phone stuff. The other bit of the cell phone thing, if you want to save some money for your burner line, is that you can have your payments, once it's done through one of these random little carriers like Straight Talk or Total Wireless, you can then port it over to Visible. And the reason to do that is Visible right now is running a promo where they'll lock you in for a year at $19 a month. And you pay it in monthly increments at $19. And that's important because you want it to be paid in monthly increments, because if you have an Amex Business Platinum, that has a $10 wireless credit each month and Visible counts. For a while, I could have sworn those wireless credits were only for like the major, like top level carriers like T-Mobile and AT&T and stuff. But It works for Visible, and maybe it's because Visible is a subsidiary of Verizon. But I also saw data points that it works for Mint, and maybe that's because Mint is now a subsidiary of T-Mobile. But it works for Visible, which means that your $19 bill is only $10 or $9 a month, and that Visible plan is unlimited data, unlimited talk, unlimited text. So $9 a month is about as cheap as you can get for like a temporary phone line or like an alternate phone line. I think the only way you can go cheaper is to go through Telo. I think Telo has a $5 a month plan, but with that you get like 1 gig of data each month. And I think talk and text is unlimited, but the data is capped at 1 gig, which might be fine if you're just trying to receive like two-factor authentication codes on this phone, and so you don't really care. But having Visible, and if you have an Amex Business Platinum anyway, where you're because you have so many of them, you have one just sitting around that isn't maximizing its wireless credit, it could be worth just signing up for Visible through it and using it as your alternate phone number. And then combining that with, you know, like a Razr or like this Moto 5G. I mean, definitely don't get a Samsung phone. I'm sure I'm offending some amount of Samsung users right now, but like, do you guys like tell me, leave me a comment. Very curious. But yeah, let's move on to some slightly bigger things, credit cards. So on the credit card front, I've been working through some new bonuses as well. I mean, I had a Chase Inc. bonus that finally posted last week, which is cool. But the thing that I've been, more excited about, just because it's different, is that I've been opening up, I opened a Blue Business Cash for P2, and then I opened a Blue Business Cash for myself. And the reason I did that is the Blue Business Cash and the Blue Business Preferred, they're credit cards with Amex. And unlike charge cards, which is what the Business Platinum and the Golds and all that stuff are, the credit cards are real credit cards, so they have credit limits. And the nice part with these two cards is that they have an offer right now, and I don't know if that's new or if they've always had this, but it's 0% APR for 12 months. And that was interesting for us because we had some big expenses coming up, which I'll go into in a little bit. And I was like, well, how can we like essentially not have to pay this expense now and defer it, you know? And a 0% APR card is great for that, especially if you can get decent credit limit. And with Amex too, like, the 0% APR cards, they have a bonus attached. I want to say the Blue Business Cash was like, I don't know, it's like 30,000 Amex points for spending a few thousand dollars. And also you get like 20,000 Amex points, I think, if you were referred by someone. And the trick there with Amex referrals, if you aren't aware, is that like different cards at Amex, when you generate the referral link, will earn you different amounts of Amex reward points. So some cards, like this Blue Business Cash, if I went online, it would say I get like 10,000 points for referring someone. But if I went over to, let's say, like one of my like platinum cards or gold cards, occasionally some of those will bump up and it will say like, oh, I get 20,000 points for referring someone. So when I had my wife open this Blue Business Cash and have her refer me, instead of having her refer me using her Blue Business Cash link that would only get her 10,000 points, I had her refer me using her, like, I think her Amex Platinum link instead that would get her 20,000 points. And then on my end, when I open that up, I then just navigate to, like, there's like a link, it's like more cards or something, and then business cards. And then I can just choose to open the Blue Business Cash instead. So that way she gets the most amount of referral points as possible, and then I still get the card that I want. Obviously, it's more steps, so that's where it gets complicated, because if you're like referring your like great aunt in Tennessee, you know, she's probably not maybe gonna know how to navigate to the right card and might mess it up if the first thing she sees is the Amex Platinum, and she's like, so I guess Joe wants me to open the Amex Platinum. And then she ends up, you know, but if you're a little bit savvy, I think clicking around and finding the best referral link is the way to go. So it ended up being like 50,000 points to open it. So that's an added bonus. The 0% APR is nice. And then the other thing I discovered with Amex that's really, really nice is that with their credit cards, you know, their credit cards include like the Lowe's business card or like this Blue Business Cash, Blue Business Preferred. Within those credit cards, you can just transfer the credit limits between the cards, which is nothing new. You can do that at every bank, but you can do it entirely online, self-service. I can try and post, let me write a reminder to share a link in the show notes. Link to picture so that you can see where it is, because I don't remember off the top of my head, but you can just move credit from your other credit cards at Amex straight into this new card. And that's great because if you open a 0% APR card, Amex gives out credit like candy. So with this one, she was like immediately approved for $25,000 as a credit limit. But you can then just move from your, sorry, the dogs always, if you have like a sensitive nervous system, probably don't get dogs that bark like that because I probably jump out of my seat like 10 times a day, which I think is going to kill me early. But going back to this credit card thing, yeah, you can transfer credit limits over. And so on this 0% APR card, I was just like, let me just transfer all of the other credit limits over for her. And so it transferred into like a $45,000 credit limit at 0% APR, which basically means Amex will float you $45,000 at a 0% loan interest for a year, which is really, really good. And then I just checked her account this morning and they just randomly bumped it up. It said like your credit limit's been increased and now she has like 65,000. I'm like, I'm not kidding when I say Amex gives out credit like candy. And so I just opened one for myself today. We don't even need this much 0% APR, but I'm sure I can find a good use for it. And given that the sign up bonus and the referral, you know, ends up being like 50,000 Amex points, sure, free $500 plus I get a free loan from Amex. They approved me for 25,000. I can move some from the Lowe's credit card that I opened back when dining referrals were a thing just to get the dining referral boost. Yeah, I think I'll have another 45-ish thousand. And so we're looking at like $100,000 from Amex as a loan for free for a year. Really cool. And you might be like, why do you even want that much like 0% APR? Like one way is if you can find a bank that takes Amex, you can just fund a bank account directly or CDs, you know, using this Amex card. And that means you can make interest off of it while Amex loans you the money. But it is rare now to be able to find a bank that will allow Amex funding. Like if you find one of those, that's like the unicorn of unicorns, because it's also pretty hard to find a bank account that allows credit card funding in the first place. But if they allow Amex, yeah, definitely don't tell anyone about that one. But we were getting the 0% APR not for that, but because we decided to get solar. So I'm sure you know why, but in case you have been living under a rock, solar credits are going away at the end of this year, and it sort of is like now or never. Well, not never. I mean, I could see it coming back maybe in like 5-6 years, you know, but that's a pretty long time. So really, like, if you've been thinking about it, now is sort of the time to get it done. And it wasn't even our intent initially. So I'll kind of like walk through how this whole thing escalated, which was that Costco was selling their wine barrel saunas. If you've seen those, like, it's self-assembly wine barrel sauna, and it ends up looking like a wine barrel, and you can assemble it yourself in like 4 or 5 hours. And we're like, oh, we love saunas, you know, like we canceled our gym membership and stuff. Like, it'd be nice to have that at home. And Costco is running a sale. And I was like, sweet, I feel like we're going to stay in Colorado for a long time. Let's like invest a few thousand dollars, excuse me, into like a wine barrel sauna. So of course, the next step then is to, since the sauna is going to be outside of the house, to get an electrician to run like a line over there. And that's how the whole saga kind of began, because I'm like looking on Yelp to find an electrician, and I find a couple good ones, and I submit a you can do like online quotes at Yelp. And I also called a couple, and I called them, and just the prices were so, like, one guy was like, oh, it's going to be like $2,000 to run a line to the sauna. I called another guy. He's like, it's going to be $4,000 to add the sub panel and run a sauna. And I'm like, A, this seems really expensive. And B, why are the two quotes that are basically the same work? One's 2,000, one's 4,000. And these are guys that got like 5 stars on Yelp, you know? And so I'm getting like, kind of like, I'm like, I don't think we should get this on. And things are going to be so expensive now with the line getting put in. And I was like using this, the quote tool on Yelp, and I accidentally forgot to uncheck the little checkbox they have. And the checkbox basically says like you're asking for a quote from this company, but do you want us to also send your request out to other electricians in the area? And typically I turn that off. I'm like, I don't want to be spammed by people, right? But I forgot to this time. And I'm really glad I did, because I ended up getting another like 4 or 5 people reach out, and that was fine. You know, like I was like, oh man, I should have turned it off. But one of them had reached out, and their quote was like, oh, we'll do it for $1,000. And they had like 5 stars, but they only had like 2 reviews on Yelp. And so the way it works on Yelp is when you check that box, what Yelp does is they reach out to other electricians, not based on like how they're rated or where they're located, really. Like, they need to be close-ish to you, but the main criteria that they use to reach out to other electricians is whether or not those electricians are paying Yelp. I think it's a package you can pay. You know, you can have like pay to be a sponsored result, you know, at the top. It's an advertising thing, right? Or you can pay to be someone that gets reached out to when someone checks that box, you know? And so the companies that typically check that box or that pay for that kind of advertising on Yelp are, on the most part, like newer companies. I mean, there also just are crappier companies that are like, I need more business. But a lot of newer companies will pay Yelp for that advertising because they're like, we need more business. We're brand new. And the nice part with a newer company, and of course, this can be hit or miss, and this is where it's really important that like you do a lot of vetting. But the nice part with a newer company is that they're thirsty for business. A lot of these more established companies on Yelp will charge $4,000 because they're like, look, we've got 50 five-star reviews on Yelp. Now that we're so established, like, yeah, we don't need more business. Like, we'll charge you more. Because, like, you know that we deliver quality service. But these newer companies, they're thirsty, right? And so they're going to charge you a more, like, attractive rate. It's like when people list Airbnbs initially, and they're like, the rates are really good until they get more reviews. And, of course, with those Airbnbs, just like with these electricians, you might end up at a really bad Airbnb. Or you might just end up at a really great Airbnb that was a great deal because this guy doesn't have reviews yet and he's trying to hustle up reviews. And so one of the guys had reached out, only had 2 reviews that were like 5 stars on Yelp. And he was like, hey, like I can do this sauna line for like $1,000. I'm like, well, I mean, at least I'm going to call you, right? Because these other guys were quoting me $2,000, $4,000. And I talked to him and vibe check, he was amazing. I was able to suss out, and this is maybe a good thing to suss out in general when it comes to solar, is that like he was a contractor first. Like his main thing is doing the work. Like he's certified himself as a master electrician. He's a contractor. His business, like, you know, he has to have a business, right? And like he made a business, but he's not a businessman. He's not that good. Like, I don't want to say not that good at business, just like more like trying to extract the most money out of you through their business was not his top priority. He didn't have a large marketing department. It was just him basically running these ads on Yelp and then trying to like improve their SEO a bit. But first and foremost, he's just like, I'm just like, you know, I used to just be a contractor for other solar companies and I decided to kind of branch out on my own. And so the rates I charge are like contractor rates. And that's super important if you've been thinking about solar, because I guess a quick quick rundown of how solar works and why, I mean, you know, it's just the solar industry is pretty, it can be, many companies are quite shady in the solar industry because there's been such massive tax incentives that what ends up happening is that companies will form and the primary thing that the company does is not installing solar, it's marketing. It's going door to door and trying to convince you to get solar. If you live in like Cali or one of the other like, you know, states where that's really prevalent, you probably have had someone knock on your door trying to get you to get solar. And the most of their money goes towards their team of salespeople who get commissions to sell you on solar. And then when it's time to actually install the solar, what do? They actually just contract another company to do the solar because their entire company is just the front of marketing. And so these contractors that they contract with, you're not getting those rates. You're getting that rate plus however much it costs for them to hire a team of 100 salespeople plus whatever margin they're trying to make. And so if you're able to go to a company that actually does the installs themselves, a company that's more contractory, a company that other solar marketing companies contract to install solar, if you can find one of those, your dollar per kilowatt is going to go down drastically. And so I was lucky enough to stumble across this guy that's one of those guys. And it was thanks to Yelp, like he was branching out for the first time on his own. And we ended up getting, I want to say it's like $2.50 or under per kilowatt, which is really good. I think the national average is like $3 something per kilowatt. We're at $2.50, and that only happened because of this guy. And of course, he's also going to install this like sauna line for like $1,000 for us. So that's how this whole thing escalated from like, oh, Costco's having a sauna sale, to now we're spending like tens of thousands of dollars on solar. But a lot of that does come back in tax credits. And then the other bit, of course, full circle, was like, oh, I should just open a card that has 0% APR so that we don't have to pay it for a year. Not that like you should just, I mean, the second that becomes debt that is not 0% APR, like a month before that, how I handle 0% APR is I pay that off entirely so that it doesn't become something that runs 20% interest rate, right, on these credit cards. And so if you're someone who's not good with that, probably don't do like chase 0% APR stuff. But I know I'm good for the money a year from now. And having Amex loan that money to me for 12 months for free is kind of a no-brainer. The other final bit I'll say about solar too is that initially, like we were just getting solar only, and he sort of convinced us into a battery because the thing with batteries, you might be like, I don't need a battery, or like it just depends. Like if your area has power outages, which we do sometimes in the winter, a battery can be nice because then it can run like your stove and all this other stuff. And of course, like once you see how expensive batteries are, that's usually when you're like, actually, I don't think I need a battery because a battery system is like $20,000-$25,000. It's like double what you're paying like extra, right, for your solar. So we're like, I don't think we don't need it. And that's way too much money. An interesting thing that he offered us was he was like, well, I can get you the smallest solar battery that we offer. It will only power your house for like half a day. But that's really all you need, right? Given that your power doesn't go out for more than half a day. And the best part, though, was that he was able to offer a really big discount on the battery. And he didn't directly say this, but my feeling for why that's the case, why he was really like, I just want to install this battery for you. Like, let me know like what price you need this to be to make this happen, is that battery companies right now are giving incentives to solar installers to install their product. So the battery we went with is PointGuard. It's pretty big in like Europe and Australia and stuff, but they're trying to break into the US market. And my feeling is, because he said he has a PointGuard sales rep that he talks to, my feeling is that he gets some kind of incentive for installing X amount of PointGuard battery systems. And so it doesn't really matter too much to him whether we get the smallest one or the bigger one. As long as we get one, he gets an incentive, and he passes some of that incentive on to us in the form of a discount. It's sort of like the car dealership model, you know, like sometimes at the end of the month, or, you know, it's not always the end of the month, but different times whenever their sales cycles are, dealerships will discount cars because they're like, if we sell 1,000 of these cars, we get this bigger discount from the manufacturer, or we meet this other sales quota from someone else. And, you know, they start discounting cars because they're like, oh, we're like at 990 and we just need to sell 10 more cars. Not surprisingly, solar kind of works that way too as well. So not to turn this into a solar episode, but if you have been thinking about it, those are things to keep in mind. Feel free to, you know, leave me a comment or DM me on Discord if you have more questions about it. And I can get into more specifics of like exactly what we got, but it sort of is kind of like the timer is running out and it's a bit of a now or never kind of a situation. So something to think about. But let's see, what else did I get up to this last week? I mean, a bunch of just like little mini wins, I guess. Do you guys remember Moomoo? We were all doing a lot of Moomoo brokerage bonuses. Was that a year ago? Or is it 2 years now? I mean, time flies. But Moomoo, I want to say it was like 2 years ago, like made me a bunch of money because it had such a good sign-up bonus. It was like they were giving like $500 or $1,000 for referring someone, something crazy. But I haven't opened that app in like a couple years. And I remember I had maybe like $100 or $200 in there. And I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta like sell some of the stuff in there and just like close it down, and just never got around to it. The $100, $200 were just from like signing up. I think Moomoo would give you some free stocks. It's like, here's like 30 free stocks for signing up. And there were all these like dollar stocks, you know, like GM or Ford or something. It was like trading at $2. So I checked my Moomoo account this week and I was shocked to see that I have like $900 in there. And I'm like, how did I forget about $900? I'm like forgetting. I checked it because I was trying to add it into Monarch, and Moomoo actually doesn't add to Monarch. It's one of the few. And I was like, that's fine. I don't use it anyway. Let me just see if I can close it. And yeah, found $900 in there and was like trying to suss out what happened. And here's what happened. A few of the free stocks that I got when I signed up for Moomoo was Palantir. And at the time, because I can pull up this Palantir stock graph. Here we go. So let's do like a 1 year graph. Or even 5 year. There we go. Yeah, when they gave me Palantir in like 2023, it was like $6. $6 for one Palantir stock. And so obviously I didn't even like really know or care what they gave me, but looking at it now, it is worth $154 per stock. So it has gone up by 10, 20 times, more than 20 times, 20x, yeah, 2000%, since I got it. Just crazy that they gave it to me for free. So that was a nice win. Always nice to discover random money. And, then I was like, oh wait, Palantir, that's like the defense company, right? Oh, okay. Right. I guess this all now makes sense. What else was I up to? Yeah, the logo, I've been working through 99 Designs to get that redesigned or at least supplemented, you know, just get something that could work well on a t-shirt. And I just wanted to shout out everyone who left a comment or rated it. That really helped because that narrowed it down to 4 designs. And now it's just like kind of a pick between these 4. And I, you know, have another poll going on Discord to see what the favorites are. I can try and share some pictures of the top ones in the show notes. Let me make a note of that. Show note picks. Cool. And you can see what the top 4 are. I mean, they're pretty nice. They're pretty nice. I feel like at this point, you know, it's going to be a tough battle between which one ends up winning. But if you have a favorite, you can leave a comment and let me know as well. I've also been busy planning the meetup. That's kind of chugging along. We finally locked down a venue out here in Denver. For now, I think for this first year it is going to be only for folks in the Discord, mainly because it seems like a bad idea slash something I don't want to do to run an event that is going to be like 500 people, which I think it might be at least a few hundred people if I just made it like publicly available and sold tickets. So I think we're just going to keep year one, keep it chill, 100 people, Discord members only. And yeah, it's surprising how much work and how long these things take to plan. I kind of forgot that that's the case, because the last thing I planned that was like, you know, bigger than 30 people was my wedding. And I'm definitely, I had wedding flashbacks of like, oh man, right, this is why I was like, we're never getting divorced, is what I tell my wife, because I'm like, I don't want to be back in the dating scene, and I sure as hell don't want to plan another wedding. So meetup is sort of like wedding round two, but it's been nice. People have been helping out, trying to make this round a lot more enjoyable in terms of like not just me holed up in my room planning the whole thing myself, which is what the wedding was, because P2 quit out of wedding planning very early on because I was such a perfectionist. And she was just like, if you're going to replan all of the bits that I planned again, then you should just plan the whole thing, you know? And I was like, fine, I'm going to plan the whole thing. It's going to be the best wedding ever. And it was a great wedding, but I was like super stressed and burnt out by the time it was wedding day. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that again for the meetup. And so this time I'm having people help, and people have been like really, really responsive and really helpful. And just like, yeah, this is definitely a better way of doing things, where I just like being less perfectionistic and then involving other people. Yeah. I'll let you know, guys, know how I feel after the meetup. Hopefully it goes well. But even if it doesn't, I think it would just be nice to be done with it. And also, like, it's good practice. I think everyone should plan a big event at least once in their lives, because it exposes you to skills and experiences that you wouldn't have otherwise experienced. Like, you know, like you're contacting restaurants, you're like thinking about event flow and like how people meet each other at events. And you start thinking about like, what is an event I went to where it was super awkward versus an event I went to that was like really nice and I like made friends? Like, what is the essence of that? And I've been reading this really great book called The Art of Gathering. The Art of Gathering. I will put that in the show notes as well. Art of Gathering. If you're throwing any kind of a party, so not just big meetups, like a dinner party with your friends, this book goes into that. Just like being more intentional with these gatherings. Like, what is the purpose? What is it that you're trying to get out of it for you and for your guests? So that's been a really helpful book. Been kind of just chugging along through all of that. On the airlines front, I mentioned this a little earlier, but like, yeah, we've pretty much switched away from flying Southwest. I mean, if P2 and I are going to fly together on a thing, then it's still great because we have companion pass and it does make it so much cheaper. But for everything else, like when we're flying solo, which we're doing more of these days, because that means one of us can stay home and watch the dogs while the other does the travel, the benefits of being married. We've just been preferring United. We've basically almost fully converted into, like, I'm a United fanboy now, because what sold me on them is, like, one is the credit cards, which I mentioned last week, which, by the way, that 100K United offer, like, the day I recorded it, I looked on DOC, and it's back. So you can still get that United business card for 100,000 points after 5K spend. So really great offer. If you've been thinking about it, worth listening to the prior episode and then applying for that. But the thing that really kind of pushed me over the edge for like why I'm a United fanboy is these $150 upgrades. Like I'm flying to the West Coast next week to just visit family, and they tempted me, you know, United tempted me with this like spend, it was like $140 and get first class for your flight. And I'm like, oh man, all right, yeah, okay, I'm gonna do it. You know, it's like, it's a good enough deal for like a 3-hour flight. And it is just such a better experience. And it is just funny too, to think that because of the changes that Southwest has made with their like boarding process and the bags and these little like fees they charge now, like it fully pushed me off of Southwest. Like even just like 6 months ago, before those changes were enacted, I would have never booked a United flight. Now I'm completely converted from Southwest into United, which is pretty crazy, right? How these things can flip so quickly. I just don't have the same good feelings, I guess, about Southwest as I used to. Because I'm like, if you're going to charge me for bags and I'm going to be sitting in the back of the plane anyway, why would I just not sit in a more comfortable United seat? Because the pricing is roughly the same. Really, Companion Pass is the only thing left that makes it worth it to stick with Southwest. And if and when they get rid of that or change it for the worse, I mean, it's over, you know? And maybe the stock, I mean, is the stock price going up or down as a result of this? Like sometimes I feel like my own consumer sentiment makes me feel like the stock price should reflect that. And that's obviously not the case at all. Stock of Southwest, it's okay. In the last 6 months, it's been pretty stable. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like how like when Reddit IPO'd at like, was it $40, $50? And, you know, everyone was doing the Reddit boycott, you know, closing down subreddits. You know, I deleted a few Reddit accounts. I kind of stopped posting on Reddit around that time and focused more on a Discord. That was really, I think, one of the reasons for like the Discord existing and being something that I want to spend more time on, was just like, I guess I'm not hanging out on Reddit anymore. But I was like, yeah, there's so much negative sentiment, right? Like, there's no way this stock is going to do well, you know? And this was back when they IPO'd at 50. And now Reddit is at, someone probably listening knows this already, 150. Yeah, the market loves Reddit because they're selling all of your data to AI companies. So, yeah, you know, so don't necessarily trust me on, please don't trust me on stock advice, but I am just flying United more now than Southwest. And finally, yeah, I think that was it on my notes. I guess the final thing on here was just like a heads up that next week, I mentioned I'm going to be visiting my parents for the week out in California. And so this next episode, I think I'm going to be recording it on my iPhone. Yeah, we'll see how that is. The interesting thing with iPhones is, and this is maybe a little mini hack, if you ever find yourself in this situation, and this is courtesy of Chris Hutchins for leading me down this path, which is that the iPhone microphone is actually one of the best microphones out there. Like if you need to record something or you need to interview someone and you're like on the road or you're like, you know, at your parents' home in your old bedroom, that's kind of creepy to be at. The iPhone is your best bet, better than a lot of the travel mics you can get. And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense because the iPhone is really the pinnacle of technology that you can, you know, cram into like a handheld type of a device. And their two main focuses are the microphone and the camera. And I think the screen, you know, three main focuses. But the microphone, like how you talk to people, is the actual purpose of your phone. And so it makes sense that they have one of the best like sounding microphones. And I mean, we'll see next week when I record this on my phone, if you can tell a difference or if you have a preference on one or the other. But yeah, something to know if you've ever find yourself in need of a good mic is just use your iPhone. It's really good. Don't use your Samsung. I'm sure that microphone is not, it's not great. If I can even get the recording app to open while it's trying to download the latest like casino candy on my phone. Okay, yeah, we're gonna end this right here. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this one, and we'll catch you next week from California. See you guys.